keyboard. If you didn't recognize him, he's one of our new family members around here, and we have others that are musically talented as well, as you'll find out this evening. So be here at 6:30 and join with us for a time of sharing your musical abilities and giving it to the Lord in praise and thanksgiving. We're looking at walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus is our summer theme because we as believers need to understand what this Christian walk is all about. We need to know how to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we are covering foundational truths. And we don't want this to be tedious for you. We don't want it to be overly simplistic either. But we want it to be those reiterations of truths that are essential for living a happy and godly Christian life. These truths are truths that are good for every believer of every age and every walk of life. We need to review them periodically and understand what God would have for us. This morning, we're looking at a simple truth, but a profound truth. How to be born again. How to be born again. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The term born again had become popularized in the 70s when the President of the United States made public statements that he was a born again Christian. And Jimmy Carter became known as the born again president. And that term began to be bantered around by the media and sometimes beat up and misused. And so often today, as we use the term born again, it can be misunderstood. We want to clearly understand what it is to be born again and how do you become born again. Look with me to John chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 22 verses. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miracles and signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you a truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up a snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Lord, we stand this moment on probably the most important truth of all the Bible. And yet many are blinded and deaf to it. And so we pray this morning that you would open our eyes that we might see your truth, and that we might understand it and experience it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Born again is not a Johnny-come-lately phrase. Jesus invented it. Jesus preached it. He taught it. And he made it the very essential part of the gospel. He says it so emphatically that we can't miss it. Listen, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me say it again. Jesus said, except a man or woman or child or young person, except you be born again, you will never, ever enter into heaven. This is the truth that God wants everyone to understand. This is the truth that he came to share with us and show us the way of salvation. You must be born again. Jesus hammered that to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews. He was an intellectual. He knew all of this information. And yet when Jesus spoke in simple terms of him needing a new life, he pleaded ignorance. And he said, what? You're telling me, Jesus, that a man has to go back into his mother's womb and be born all over again? I want you to catch what Nicodemus was doing. He was not stupid, but he was being sarcastic. He was looking at Jesus and saying, that's a stupid teaching. How can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born all over again? Jesus slapped him up the side of the head with a few phrases and said, you're a teacher. You already know these things. You're acting dumb because you're deliberately dumb. You're showing yourself to be ignorant because you refuse to see the truth. Except a man be born again, he can never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me clarify for you in English that we can all understand. Without this new birth experience, without this heavenly transaction within your soul, without this miraculous work of God in your life, you will never, ever enter into heaven. I'm going to say it again. Without this new birth experience, without this heavenly transaction within your soul, without a miraculous work of God in your life, you will never, ever get to heaven. We don't get to heaven by our good works. We don't earn our way. We can't climb our way into heaven. And we don't get there by the back door. God has no grandchildren. He only has children that are born of our Heavenly Father. God wants us to understand this truth. Now, some of you are probably sitting there saying, wow, I've heard this before. Yeah, Pastor, I'm already born again. So maybe you should just close the sermon and let us go home. I want you to hear it again. Because if you are born again, if you had this spiritual transaction in your life, God has changed you and you are born again, then it's good for you to understand this foundational truth so that you can pray and seek to win others to Christ and bring them to a saving experience of being born again. We need to understand this truth so that we can apply it to our hearts, but also once it's applied to our hearts, we need to understand it thoroughly so we can apply it to others and share with them how they might know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want us to look at two aspects of being born again. First of all, a man without Christ. We want to look at a man without Christ or before Christ. A man before Jesus comes into his heart and life, what is he like? God wants us to understand that because it's the foundational truth on which we build the idea of a new birth. And then we're going to look at a man after Christ, a man with Christ, and what the difference is. We look, first of all, at a man without Christ. What is he like? In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to turn with me to that. You got to go real fast because I'm going to go real fast. My wife says, Pastor Dick, sometimes you talk so fast it's hard to understand what you're saying. So Marilyn, speed up. You don't want to be here all day. Ephesians chapter 2, listen. Paul is dictating. He is saying what we were before we came to Christ. He is saying what a man is without Christ, and he says it very emphatically. As for you, you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once lived when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, Paul wants us to understand that a man without Christ is dead. You see, when you were born the first time, you came to life physically, but your spiritual life was dead because Adam sinned and God said, the penalty for that sin is spiritual death, and it will go from generation to generation until man has a new birth. Everyone who is born into this world is spiritually dead and needs to be brought to life. We sometimes like to whittle that down a little bit, and we like to think of ourselves as a little bit better than dead. I want you to think about dead for a moment. How many of you have ever been dead, really, in your body? You may feel like it. I worked hard on the lawn yesterday, and I was exhausted. I went to bed late, and I got up this morning, and Marilyn was stirring, and I said, oh, call in sick for me. I just hurt too bad to get up. And what was the thing I said the very next statement? Oh, I'm dead. Not really. Think about dead for a moment. How dead is dead? Dead stinks. When you're dead, if a dead skunk is beside the road, what happens to it? Well, first of all, it stops functioning. Its batteries go bad, and it just lays there. Well, that's bad enough. It can't think, it can't move, it can't really do what it's supposed to do. Skunk's a bad illustration because it already stinks. But there's a dead skunk in the middle of the road. You let it sit there for a while, what's going to happen to it? No, the road commission is not going to come and pick it up. That happens about 4 weeks later. A dead skunk in the middle of the road sits there. And after about a day or so, you can see that its eyes start to glass over and get foggy. And the hair gets kind of bristly. And pretty soon there's a little bit of an odor that starts to come from it. And it's not skunk odor. It's the odor of death. You let it go for another day or so, and pretty soon the maggots start to grow. And maggot, everybody know what a maggot is? I'm not sure if you ever examine dead skunks on the side of the road like I do. Maggots, those little worms that sit on dead things and eat up the dead flesh. And they begin to grow and they crawl all over. Pretty soon they take it over. And then you got crows that come in, birds that come in, light on top of it and start picking it apart. Oof. And then after a day or so, if it's hot out, it starts to swell. It gets bloated. If you got some teenagers driving their cars, you know what they want to do? They want to run over it again. And if somebody kicks it or sticks a stick in it or runs it over, what happens? All that stench and smell comes out. Dead. Paul says, I want you to understand what you were before Christ. You were dead. But he's talking about dead that's not just dead on the ground sleeping. He said, you were dead, but you were alive unto Satan. You were alive in his kingdom. You were doing his things. You were living for your own carnal desires. You were after the things of this world. You followed and obeyed he calls it the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that is the Satan himself. You had a spirit of disobedience in you. So though you were dead, the maggots were active. That death has some fruits and it has some stench. God says every person in this world without Jesus Christ is dead. Not just dead spiritually doing nothing, but dead spiritually and stinking to heaven. I want us to understand that when God sees a dead man, He longs that that dead man would come to life. Too often churches and Christian people give people the idea that all they have to do to be saved is to clean up their act. My friend, I've never seen a dead skunk in the middle of the road ever get up and clean up his own act. He can't. Why? Because he's dead. He is powerless. And that's the idea God wanted to convey to us. That a man that is dead in trespasses and sin is powerless to do anything about it. He is absolutely helpless. I want to read you a statement that I've read over and over in my ministry because it's profound to me. It's from Arthur W. Pink's great work on the sovereignty of God. One of my favorite books. My wife hates that book. But that's okay. The sovereignty of God is essential for us to understand. And he has a chapter on the sovereignty of God in salvation. And he talks about the deadness of men without being born again. Listen to what he says. When addressing the unsaved, preachers often draw an analogy between God's sending of the gospel to the sinner and a sick man in bed with some healing medicine on the table by his side. All he needs to do is reach forth his hand and take it. But in order for this illustration to be of any wise true to the picture which Scripture gives to us of a fallen, depraved sinner, the man in dead must be described as one who is blind so that he cannot see the medicine. His hand is paralyzed so that he is unable to reach forth for it. And his heart is not only devoid of all confidence in the medicine, but it is filled with hatred against the physician himself. What a wonderful picture. That's exactly what God draws for us. A dead man is a dead man. He can't help himself. He can do nothing to save himself. He can't better his condition. He can't take thought and say, I'm going to rise up and walk, because he is dead. Dead is powerless to change. I went through the Scriptures and pulled out other truths about dead men before Christ, and I've given you that on the overhead. There are many things that God says about people that are without Christ. They are blind spiritually. They are deaf spiritually. They are enslaved to sin. They are the enemy of the cross. They are ignorant of salvation. They are separated from God by a great abyss. They are evil. They have rebelled against Him. They love sin. They are sick unto death. They are sensual. They are wicked. They choke the Word. They serve Satan. They mock God. They run from God. And they are dead and damned. Yes. God says those who are outside of Christ are not only dead spiritually, but they already got the death condemnation on them. Jesus said it in the passage we read. This is the condemnation then. This is the verdict then. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Jesus said the soul that sins will die. And he said if we have not received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish. The word is be damned. Lost for all eternity. See, God loved us so much, he recognized that we were not only sick men in bed, we couldn't reach out to the medicine if God gave it to us because we are dead in our sins. We not only are dead in our sins, but we're paralyzed to reach out. And if we had the strength to reach out, we would not reach out because we hate the medicine. Not only do we hate the medicine, but we hate the medicine giver. That's how dead a man is without Jesus Christ. What does the Word say? He is blind. He is deaf. He's a slave to Satan. He ignores God. He's an enemy of God. He runs from God. He's rebellious to the law of God. He's addicted to sinful acts. He is separated from God. Willingly does evil. His thoughts and intents of his heart are evil continually. His nature is to sin. He loves wickedness. He chokes the Word. He serves his fleshly desires. He is sick unto death. He mocks holiness. And he is dead and already damned. I don't know if you watch movies, and I use them as illustrations because I think some movies have great gospel truths in them. And one that I really enjoyed, though I don't enjoy the author, Stephen King wrote a book called The Green Mile. And Tom Hanks is the star in that movie. And I like this portion of the movie because it's about a big black guy, 300-some pounds, all muscle, all strength. And he is condemned to death. And this little peewee of a guard comes dragging him into death row. And while he's taking this man to death row, he's shouting to the with a loud voice,
Dead man walking. Dead man walking. Dead man walking. Walking dead man. Dead man walking.
He is taking a man who is on death row, who is still alive, yet has a sentence of death on himself, and he is declaring to the world, this man is dead already. This man is on his way to be executed, and he will be executed. Therefore, we can declare that he is dead indeed. And God says a man without Jesus Christ, though he still has the will to be alive physically, he has a physical body and he goes about doing his motions and having relationships and living his life, he is already dead. Already on his way to hell, already condemned, because he has not life. What does the scripture say? He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. You see, the solution for a dead man is not correcting his behavior, is not getting his act together or pulling himself up by his bootstraps, nor is it to go to church or to believe the doctrines of the church or to become a member of a church. It is to recognize that he is dead and needs to be brought to life. In Ezekiel, there's a picture of a valley of dry bones, dried up and whitened by the sun. And the question comes, can these dry bones live again? In our humanness, in our own wisdom, we look at a valley of dry bones and we say, there's no way those bones are ever going to get up and walk again. That dead skunk in the middle of the road is a dead skunk in the middle of the road. It's not going to be resurrected. God speaks to Ezekiel and says, prophesy to the bones. He prophesies to the bone and there's a shaking. They come together. And God says, prophesy again. And they get muscles and sinew and flesh. And the flesh comes over. And God says, now prophesy. Let the Spirit of God move upon those bones and upon that flesh. And God breathes into those dead bodies life. And the bones live again. And friend, that's the miracle of the new birth. If you have never been born again, you are dead and on your way to hell without Christ and without God. You are on the pathway of Satan. You have loved him. You have loved your sin. You have rebelled against God and done all those things we've listed. The only hope is that God would breathe into you a breath of life, and that's a miracle. God wants to give you that miracle. Let's look at the second part of this. Not only is a man dead without Christ, but a man with Christ is completely different. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The day that you receive Jesus Christ and open your heart and life to Him, and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a dead sinner. I'm a dead skunk in the middle of the road. I have no life in me. I'm on my way to hell. I need a Savior. That moment, Jesus Christ, who is the life, who himself alone has the power to give life, comes into you. And he causes the dead skunk to come to life, and it's no longer a dead skunk. It's a child of God. Someone once told a story of a man who loved his pig, and he loved his pig so much, he got the pig, and he figured, I'm going to have my pig come in the house. So he cleaned up the pig, scrubbed it down, brought it into the house, put a ribbon around its neck, dressed it up in nice clothes, and had it walk around the house. And he got so accustomed to this pig, and he loved this pig so much, he actually started to treat it like his own son. And people would come to the house, he said, I want you to meet my boy, Oink. And people would look at the pig, and they'd look at the guy and say, the guy's nuts. That's a pig. He said, no, that's my son. Can you make a pig be a son? Well, you can pretend. You can dress him up and you can clean him up. But in the end, he still says, oink, oink. In the end, he's still a pig. And you can clean yourself up and you can go to church and you can get your act together. You can just try to straighten out your life. But in the end, if you're not born again, if God doesn't breathe into you a breath of life, you are still an old creature. You're still what you were before. If any man is in Christ, that is, any man that invites Christ to come into his life, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. He becomes miraculously born again, and that's a transaction that takes place in heaven. No, I can't explain it. I can't mystify you by breaking it down into its essentials of its DNA and showing you how the new birth takes place. All I know is it does take place. It takes place in response to someone who says, I need Jesus and I need life. When we do that, God's Spirit comes in. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We need to be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. He also says, once we've received Christ as our Savior, not only are we a new creation and all things become new and we are miraculously born again, but we are passed from death unto life. Remember that command of the Lord Jesus. He is, anyone who hasn't received Christ is about to perish. He is on his way to condemnation. But once you receive Christ, you have passed from death unto life. You already have your approval in heaven. And you're forever transformed. That word transformed in Scripture means you are made new. You become a child of God. That is, you really become God's child, and He belongs to you and you belong to Him. And He takes your name and He writes it in heaven. And your name is written up in heaven someplace in a book of life. And He has given to you eternal life. And He says, no man can pluck you out of my hand. You are safe and secure in me, and you will never, ever perish. But you say, Pastor, I don't understand that. How can that take place? You mean just somebody saying a prayer, dear Lord, have mercy on me, come into my heart and life, and boom, like that, there's a change? No, it's not just saying words. It's not a magical formula. It's a person. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again, is waiting for you and waiting for me, waiting to come into our hearts and lives and be our Savior. The Scripture says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So it's a matter of doing business with God. Have you asked the Lord Jesus to come in and be your Savior? Have you asked Him to cleanse your sins? Have you asked Him to give you new life? I read an article recently by a girl giving her testimony of salvation. And she said she went to church and she struggled. She loved the preaching and she loved the music, but there was one song she hated. And it was the song, It's Real. She said, I went to church for years, and every time somebody sang that song, every time it was uttered, I just cringed because it told a story about me that wasn't true. It was telling my background that I tried to be saved. I tried to clean up my act. I tried to be all that I could, and I couldn't be what God wanted me to be. Until one day, she said, I knelt at the foot of the cross. And in brokenness, I said to God, God, I can't do anything to change me. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. Would you come in and do a miracle in my life? And she said, just that quick, Jesus Christ came in and made her new. I have a cold, but I would love to sing this to you. Let me try. Oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day, for I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. When the Spirit tried to help me, I the truth would not receive. I endeavored to be happy and to make myself believe. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, and I know it's real. How about you? Can you say this morning, I can't understand it, I can't explain it, but I know there was a day when Jesus Christ was invited to come into my life, and He changed me. The last verse goes like this, so I prayed to God in earnest, and not caring what folks would say, I was hungry for a blessing. My poor soul, it must be fed. When at last by faith I touched him, and like sparks from smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real. Sing it with me. For it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. Do you, my friend, know it's real? Have you that testimony from within that the life of God is in you, the witness of God's Spirit, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is in you? God desires that you have it. This morning is the day you can receive that just by simple faith and praying that prayer to receive Christ as your Savior. In your bulletin, I've given you an insert that I want you to take home and work on, because if you're saved, you need to know the condition of somebody without Christ. And the way to help reach them is to pray for them. One of the best things you could do is pray for a miracle in their lives, that they would meet Jesus. And you could take that sheet and begin that process of daily praying for a list of people that you know, who you know are dead in their trespasses and sins, who don't know Christ as their Savior yet. The most that you can do is the least that you can do. And that's to pray and ask God to do a miracle in them. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this morning as we consider how to be born again, we cannot boil it down to four simple steps and a pattern of what someone needs to do. We can only boil it down to Jesus. You, Lord, died on the cross for our sins. And you put it into that nutshell and said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I pray this morning if there's anyone under the sound of the gospel today that recognizes that they're still dead in their sins, they're not alive, they don't have the abundant life of Christ, they don't have life living in them, they're not on their way to heaven, that today, even now, they will ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, and please, no one has permission to look around. It's not about other people, it's about you. Have you been born again? Has your life been transformed? Has Jesus Christ come into your life? If the answer is no this morning, you need a Savior. You desperately need the Savior. You're not only dead in trespasses, but you're doomed to an eternity of hell. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and waits for you to ask for his forgiveness, his cleansing, and his life. If that's your situation this morning, would you just quietly, no one looking around, just quietly lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you and I'm not going to give an altar call. But if you haven't received Christ yet and you're not sure about your salvation, just lift your hand. Yes. Yes. And you can put it right down. Just make sure that I see. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you and I'm not going to chase you. But I want to pray for you. Yes. Others, you're not sure. You've never had that miracle. You've never had that new birth. Yes, you can put your hand down. Anyone else? If you've raised your hand this morning, would you pray this prayer and mean it? Talk to the Lord Jesus right now. Lord Jesus, I'm desperate. I'm dead without you. I can't make myself do what I ought to do. I can't make myself get to heaven. So I come to you, Lord, and confess my deadness. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins, I invite you to come into my heart and life. I open my heart's door right now, Lord, and I receive you as my Savior. And I say, come into this dead person and breathe life into me and make me a child of God. Transform me. Make me new. Make me a new creation. I ask you to do it, and I believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. As you go through this week, I encourage you to take this little insert in the bulletin and fill it out. Look for 10 friends, relatives, neighbors, somebody that doesn't know Christ, and begin to pray for them that God would do the miracle of new birth. On my way into the sanctuary, somebody said, "We need more roses." That's right. The preacher doesn't produce roses, does he? The Spirit of God does. So let us pray. Let us seek those that are in darkness and tell them that there is light. There is life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me as we close? I'm going to sing one verse of that, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And if that's your testimony this morning, you sing it with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Lord, now we ask that You would go with us, and as people that know You as Savior, we pray that we will walk in newness of life, that our new creation would shine forth and others would see the difference in us. That You make, Lord, as You live Your life in us. Cleanse us from sin. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. And empower us to go out and share this good news with others. We pray for our friends and relatives and those that don't yet know You, that You would bring them to that great salvation, that You'd bring them to that point of desperation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6:30 with your hymns and songs and special music.